Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Before I get into our message tonight, and we have our opening prayer, I got some things I want to share with the church and all, and with the members. You know, we've been supporting some things for the Jewish people, plus some of the Indian or Native American children, and all. There's several things that we support. Well, I got a letter from one of the Jewish organizations. Sent me a petition to sign for Joe Biden against what he's doing, because now he's hurting Israel even more with our government. So anyway, I signed the petition, but this organization also is one that is helping those in Israel that don't have a home and they don't have enough food and all of that. And the hospital's there now, with as crowded as they've been, where they've been being more or less rockets coming in every day, and so many being in the hospital. We're running out of hospital supplies. And they're asking us for help for hospital supplies. Says here on this one sheet, I ain't going to read it all to you because it takes too long, because here's the whole letter. But anyway, on here, it's got... says, the Lord has opened a wonderful door for us to respond to an urgent shortage of medical supplies in Israel hospitals. Every dollar you give could provide up to $13 worth of medical supplies and equipment. In other words, they've got somebody, some company or something, that will more than match would be given. It says that for a $50 donation, that will give up to $650 in aid to the hospitals. For a $100 donation, it's $1,300 in aid. And for a $1,000 donation, that's $13,000. And what I need this morning to run by you all is how much you think we ought to give them. Right now, you know, the Word tells us to help them. And God said He blesses those that help Israel, and He'll curse those that won't. The church right now has got $8,300. That's what we've got.
I think we should take care of our own community first.
So, well, we are, because, like I said, I'm paying right now. Here's what the church is supporting, been supporting every month. St. Jude Children's Hospital, Jewish Boys, St. Libra Indian School, and WJCR Food Pantry.
I got people asking me money. They're watching you, telling how much money we got.
That's all right.
And they got orphanages.
Yeah, but I'm we're the ones asking.
Worldwide. Well, there's a lot of hands out.
I know there is. But what do you all think?
How are you going to decide who should get the money? Why is Israel more valuable than any other people?
Because they're God's family.
I understand that, but...
Well, that's why. And he says if we don't stand with them, he said if we don't stand with them, he's not going to stand with us.
Then send it all to Israel. God bless them. Everything? I don't know. Send some to Israel. 10%?
What do you think, Dennis? Huh?
I would say send them
100. Send them
100? Send them 10% of what you got. Send them $800.
Well, I can send them everything, no.
No, but you can send them a 10.
I can send whatever y'all agree on.
I'm not mocking you. I can say that's the tithe, isn't it? Enough.
But that's... You know that I don't do a whole lot of things without letting the church know how. But, and I don't think that'll work either.
What?
Terry, what do you think?
I think we ought to give them something. I don't know what. That should be between everybody involved.
Well, did you hear what each gift gives?
Yeah, I heard most of it.
Well, 50 will give them $650 in aid. 100 gives them $1,308. $1,000 gives them $13,008. That's going to the hospitals over there, because they've been being rockets going into Israel, around 1,000 a day. Is what's been hitting Israel, and they're blowing up homes, tearing families up, killing people, wounding people, until they've got the hospitals with the covert and that going on. Hospitals just been overrun and they're short of medical supplies.
Well, I say you know, a lot of people being persecuted by Muslims worldwide. I hear about it every day.
So,
they want me to send them money. You want to give to Israel, give 10% of what we got. Give
them $1,000. Well, anyway, I brought it up. I'm going to mute you back, Terry.
All right.
Well, maybe it mute. To work anyway. All right. You know, it's gotten so that people today don't want to hear the truth. We may have lost another member. Because she wouldn't tell me why. When I called her this morning, I always call her a half hour before time to go get her. And so, because she has trouble with time. And when I called this morning, she said, I ain't going. I said, why? What's the matter? I just ain't going. Okay. I'm not going to argue with her. I'm not going to beg her. She has to choose. But it seems like everybody wants this watered-down, weak version preached. I'm not going to do it. I'll close the church first.
Here we go again.
Before I go to preaching that kind of message. Because I can go online and preach the truth. It goes wherever the internet goes. And it is gaining people all around the world.
Just try again.
So, anyway, that's what I had to share with the church this morning. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we go into your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. And Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' sweet, precious name. Amen. All right, before I get into my scripture reading, I've got a question for you. For everyone that's listening. What is the most important part of the service to you? Think about that a minute. Then see if you can give me an answer. You know, we have these, most services, they have music, which we don't have much of. Too small for that yet. But anyway, communion, prayer, the different things about the service. What is the most important part of the service? No answers?
No idea. Communion, which I don't think we have.
Oh, yeah, we do. Not as often as we should, but anyway. But the most important part of any service is worship. Even the angels in heaven are always moving about and worshiping the Lord. That's why we come to church, or should be the reason we come to church, is to worship Him and to learn His word. Because without learning His word, we can't even worship Him. But the most important thing we do is to praise Him for all He's done for us and for mankind and what He continues to do for us. Now, one more question. We talked a little bit about that. This is something God just gave me about the worship service. What's this question? He just gave it to me. I hadn't really thought about it. I pay my tithes all the time. And Kenny pays his. I know. Now, but we're to give a tenth of our income. If I was to lay out 10 $1,000 bills up here, which one of them should I be giving? Why? Why should I give him the first one? What if I just took it off the end? What's the difference?
Well, here's the difference. The difference is if you take it off the end, then you put yourself first.
Now, that difference is he is to be the first. And we are to give him our first fruits. That means we should be giving him his tenth before we pay any other bill or anything else. And when we don't, we put him down the line, anywhere down the line, we're not going to get that first fruit blessing. And he tells us that. Now, even though I pay him, because you see, if I'm not giving him the first, I'm not paying tithes, I'm giving him an offering. So that offering will not give me that first fruit blessing from God. As I told y'all, God's been working with me over the past several weeks hard. And I've been being, to me, given enlightenment that I hadn't thought about before. And be honest about it, I wasn't giving it to him first. I don't tell how many other bills I was paying before I gave him his. I give him his every month because that's where I'm paid monthly. So I give it to him every month. But I was paying other things before him. And then sometimes I even have to figure out how and where I'm going to get his from. And that's really the wrong way to do it, because we owe him the first fruits. You see, it's things like this that people don't want to hear. People don't want to hear that. And just like Thursday night, we were talking about tithes. And you know, God says when we don't pay our tithes, in his eyes, we're a robber and a thief because we're spending his money. That first tenth don't even belong to us. That's his. And when we spend his money, according to the word, we're a robber and a thief. But most people don't understand that. And they don't want you telling them that either. All right. We're going to be going into Luke, the 23rd chapter here. We're not going to get all the way through the chapter this morning. But beginning here with verse 1, this is when Jesus was taken before Pilate. And also Herod. We're in Luke 23, verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Paul had asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Paul to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Paul had heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Now here in these first 12 verses, we find here about his accusation. And we are also told that two of the main ones to judge him don't even get along with each other. Paul and Herod didn't even get along. They were enemies between each other. But they're accusing him of things that really he hadn't done to begin with. Now, he was teaching, and he was teaching some things that were contrary to the law of that day and time, because he was preparing them for what was about to happen, which was his death, his resurrection, and the beginning of the church age, which did happen on the day of Pentecost. It's the beginning of the church age. But he really wasn't doing what they was accusing him of. They was trying to get him in trouble by lying and saying that he was forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. And he did not do it, because when they asked him, he asked them about their money, didn't he? And what did they do? They showed him a coin, and he asked whose image was on it. They told him Caesar's. And he told them, he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto God what is God's. So he wasn't telling them not to give to Caesar. Just like today, we pay income tax. That's the way our government was set up. But we are also to give God what is his. And we are to give God his first, but we are to pay our taxes. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. That's for sure. Our government, see, we get in trouble over that. Now, as we go on here now, they're reading. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accused him. He's telling him, he's not finding any fault with him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast. And you know, this reminds me of so much that's going on today, especially in our churches. Because our churches has turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're teaching man's things instead of teaching God's will and his way. Because man's not wanting to walk in the ways of Almighty God. He wants to please himself. Now, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Now, he's having them choose between the Lord Jesus Christ and a murderer. One that was causing an uprise. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him, his own people, and those that should really have known who he was and why he was even there. Because it was in the old church, had been taught all down through the years about him. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses all talked about his coming, how he would come, how he'd be born, and all, even how he would die. But here they are, crying, crucify him, crucify him. And today, look what our government has done. They took him out of every place he was in. Our government don't want his name spoke nowhere. Nowhere. They took his name off of all of our buildings. They even took the name God off of all of our government buildings, except one, and they can't get to that one. It's on top of one of the buildings that they can't even get on top of now. But they don't want him used at all in our land. And mankind has turned his back and walked away from him. They're following everything that man says, and they're not listening to God. That's why you're finding it so hard today to get people into the church. Because they've fallen mankind. Well, we're told, you know, I hear it every day. Oh, we still got to wear a mask here, we got to wear a mask there, and all, and they can only be so many of us get together at a time. We can't even have this, we can't have that. That's because they have stood and let the government take them away from God instead of making the government operate as it was supposed to operate. They're not rulers over us. We were to rule the government. Now, what are they doing? Nothing. They're sitting back, saying nothing, and letting them go ahead and tear our country apart, or turn our land apart, because they're wanting to change our government and bring in this secular government. It's exactly what they're wanting to do. Now, and release unto us Barabbas. They chose a murderer over the Lord Jesus Christ. One that had no sin at all. And you know, that's another thing. He not only came as a Savior, but he came also as an example to you and I so that we could see we could live that kind of life. And today, you're told every way you turn, all you can't live without sin in your life. You're born a sinner and you've just got to sin. No, you don't got to. That is a choice. It's a choice whether you're going to serve God or whether you're going to serve man. And it's a choice every day of your life of what you are going to do, especially that day. Nobody else's choice, yours. And most are not making it right. They look for every excuse to stay away from church or to talk even to God's people if they are really God's people. Now, it goes on here in 19, it says, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. They're not giving up, are they? And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. Well, this chastising that Pilate's going to do to him, he bore, and he bore it for you and I. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. Even the priest was crying, crucify him. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He was given in to them. And we know that that's what happened. But we also know that that chastisement is exactly what brought healing to you and I. That's what brought us our healing. It was the stripes on his back. Now, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. Now, the women were following him and crying for him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And that's what we need to be doing today, is crying for ourselves, because for the most part, mankind is lost. And he's walking further and further away from the Lord our God every day. He goes on. He says, for behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? He's speaking there about the last days, just before his return to earth. But we know that we are living, you and I are living in the last days of the church. And our days are going to end before the Lord comes back to earth. We don't stop and think about that, do we? But that's what's going to happen. The church is going to be taken out of this world before the Lord returns back to earth. Because when he comes for the church, he ain't coming all the way to earth. He's going to come on a cloud and call us out of the earth. For those that are ready. And those that ain't are going to be left back here in a mess that they can't even imagine. With no way out. Because we know that during the tribulation, there'll be no Gentiles saved. The Bible tells us. How many is to be saved during tribulation and who they are. During tribulation period, there'll be 144,000 saved, and there'll be Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. Because you see, the days of the Gentile are over. It ended when he came and got the church and took the church out of this world. We need to get right and to get ready to be with him. Or else we're going to make hell in that lake of fire our home for eternity. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He's being nailed to a cross after being beaten. And he's asking for the Father to forgive him. The very ones putting him to death. And you and I today, we get upset just to get a little ridicule, don't we? And we want to hold grudges. And somebody does something to us, we want to get out here and see how we can get revenge. Repay them for what they've done to us. That's not being the child of the living God either, because we are to walk as he walked. We're told this in his word. And most has read the Bible, has read that several times, because it's in several places. We are to walk as he walked. And we are to walk in him and he in us. But how many that you are around every day that really you can see anything about Jesus in them at all? Not many, is there? Because they want to go their own way and not man's way. I'll do things my way. I don't need you, Lord. I'll just do it my way. I'm smarter than you. No. You're not. And one day you're going to stand before him and you're going to know you're not smarter than he is. You're going to be sorry then, but there'll be nothing you can do about it. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Now they want him to mock him. And they're still mocking him today. Well, you know, I just don't believe in him because I've been a praying about this or that, and I've been a praying and praying and praying, and he ain't done a thing. Well, why didn't he do it? Take a good look at yourself, and you'll find the reason he hasn't done it. Because you blocked it with all these little ifs, ands, and buts that we use in our life, in our lifetime, that we think nothing about. No. But they're wanting him to save himself now, to prove to them who he is. His word proves it to you and I. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're told how to know him. We all know that we need a prayer life set up. Not prayer once in a while or once a week when we go, might go to church, or once a month, however often we go, but a prayer life set up continually, every day, day by day. Spend time with him and seek his answer for you for that day, because he has it planned out. But have you went to him and asked him, Lord, what do you want of me today? What can I do for you today, Lord? If you do that and you do it in sincerity, he'll let you know. He'll tell you what to do. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar to drink. Couldn't even give him a drink of water. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And he didn't tell them that. He did not tell them that. Because at this time, he wasn't going by king. He was actually, he came as their Savior and as their Messiah. He's coming back as their king. When he comes back and sets up his kingdom for that millennial reign, that thousand-year reign, he'll be their king then. And one of the malefactors which was hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Save yourself, Jesus, and save us too. Selfish, and also mockingly. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we have so many around us today that's walking this earth that is not walking in the fear of what God can do to them. And we indeed, justly, he's letting that one know. Ours, we're here justly. We deserve it. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. You see, this man's faith is why the Lord took him that day with him to paradise. This man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. That's faith. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. That's what we all need to be hearing from Jesus. Because we need to be walking in his kingdom today. If you're going to make heaven your home, you need to be walking in the kingdom of Almighty God today. And you can't walk in his kingdom with sin in your life and unbelief. We're told that we are to walk in the Spirit daily, without ceasing, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you are a born-again child of the living God, is living in you. You're walking with all the power of heaven in you and at your disposal. That's why we can do the work that God will call upon us to do. Now, we don't go out here and just do things we want to do. We do things that God will call upon us to do. And we do it at the time that he calls upon us. And we'll have no problem with it. Now, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That darkness lasted quite a while, didn't it? Until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, his death tore the veil of the temple in two, which was symbolic of letting you and I know that he had made the way for us to go straight to the Father. We don't have to go to a priest to get our sins forgiven, because Jesus done it. You don't have to go to your pastor and say, well, now you know I messed up today. Pray for me. You can go to the Father yourself. That's what he's done. He made the way. Anyway, the veil of the temple was torn too. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You know, we've read this all time after time after time, but we forget it so much. And so often, we forget this. And we continue, want to go out here and do things my way. Oh, I don't need no help now. I can do it. I can get that all done. No, not without the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't even get that next breath without his approval. All he's got to do is say, son, your work's done. Come on home. And you're going to go. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Now he's admitting he's a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. They all know they've done something they shouldn't have done and was a party to something they should not have been a part of. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. They're looking upon these things now and knowing. Now, I'm going to stop there for the day because we don't have time to get through the rest of it anyway. Well, we might. All right. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the council. Indeed, of them, he was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. This is the one that gives him his grave. And he took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. He'd been put into a borrowed grave. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. They wouldn't anoint him that day because on the Sabbath day they were all commanded not to do any type of work at all. Tell mankind today that he should take a day and not do any work. See what he tells you. But we should have a day of rest. But I know for many, many years, I didn't have a day of rest. I worked 7 days a week, and sometimes on two or three different jobs. But was it right? No, it wasn't. And even today. Now, we don't honor the Sabbath as the Sabbath, or Saturday as the Sabbath, as they did. Because we honor Sunday, really, most mankind do. And really, should have we changed that day? No, we shouldn't have. Because what caused us to start worshiping on Sunday? Was a pagan god, the sun god. Those people worshiped on Sunday, and there were so many of them that then the Christians, because they were told they was going to have to worship on Sunday because they didn't want to lose all that labor that they was losing for them to worship 2 days. The sun gods are worshiping on Sunday, and them worshiping on Saturday. And the government told them no, they had to quit. And worship on Sunday. And we need to be taking the day of rest and spending it with God. We walk with him every day. And we need to be walking and praising him all through the day. Praising for everything that happens to you that day. That don't distract you from work. Because on your job, these things that happens on your job that you really need to be thanking him for. So just stop a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Praise you. And then go on. But take the time through the day to let God know that you know he is still there, that he is with you. And let me tell you something. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will do it. I know. And the stronger you grow, the more and more you miss praising him. And the more often you want to do it. I know. Because like I said, I'm living it. I'm praising him more every day. Every day. I'm spending more time with him and praising him more. Each and every day. He has done so much for me. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come and spend together, Father, in worship, in praise, in the study of your word to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and about you, Father, and of your word to help us to live a stronger and a better life. Now, Father, for the saints wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because we know that right now, Father, they're not having much peace and they are being surrounded by their enemies. And rockets being thrown into that land every day, Father, tearing that land up, killing your people. Father, we are and we'll stand with them. And Father, we pray for peace for them in this land of ours. Father, a land that has turned its back and walked so far away from you with no excuse whatsoever. Mankind just wanting to be independent and up on himself, believing that he doesn't need your help nor your way, and has chose, Father, to go his own. And he has walked away from the church. He has taken the Lord Jesus Christ out of everywhere he was at. Now they're trying to tear our government down, Father, and make it a socialist government. Help us, Father, to take those out of office that are standing against the Lord and against the church, and help us to replace them with those that will work for the church, work for Jesus, and work with us and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one. And fulfill whatever need they have, Father, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pelvic, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, for the Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, this young man Will, ordained into the ministry, we pray that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit. He's the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. And that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, Father, all these churches, we ask, Father, that they become lighthouses into the community in which they stand. But even more than that, that they become a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, and move in to life everlasting to spend with him in heaven. Now, Father, for my friends there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Because we know, Father, they walk in country where if they're caught in places, Father, will mean imprisonment and even death. For the Johnson family, for the Bronson family, for the Lee family, Father, for my wife's family, my family, and for each and every family that will hear this message this morning, we ask the Holy Spirit to work in these families, to work with those that are walking in darkness, to help turn them from that darkness to light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost. And all of our family, Father, can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Monvillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Palins, for Jim Taylor, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, all these stand in need of a touch of thy healing hand. Heal them, Father, in great and mighty ways, for they'll know it was you and not mankind. and help them, Father, each and every one, to begin to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again this evening at 6 p.m. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. God bless now.